Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, Houston, you're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Some texter saying that Branham's a hater. Lamont laughing at me on Twitter. Here comes Branham with his Will Anderson take. Goodness, man. What did Will Anderson do that was special in either one of those plays? The tackle for loss and the sack. You tell me what Will Anderson did that was special. The first one was the tackle for a loss where Tua handed it off to the running back, and Will Anderson, because the entire offensive line, except for the center, and the entire Dolphins team, except for the center, didn't realize he was being snapped, went in untouched and tackled the running back. In fact, there were two other Texans right next to Will Anderson. The second one, which is the one that went viral, like even when it happened, I was like, ooh, man, that's nice from Will Anderson. You watch it back, no one touches him on the offensive line. He runs through a measly running back and gets to the quarterback. Nothing he did was special. And I think Will Anderson's going to be very good. I'm not a Will Anderson hater. I think he's going to be good. I think it's, I don't know if it was worth the trade. I'm not going to go that far, but I think he's going to be a good football player. But in that preseason game, like we're crowning Will Anderson. Will Anderson did nothing that's out of the norm on those two plays.
I hear you, but I don't think, again, I think it's just a product of necessity. You got to crown him because you couldn't crown anything
else. But you can be realistic with, like, the feat of what a like, I'm not talking about TV. I'm talking about the fans' reaction and watching it go viral. You don't have to be like, oh, my goodness, Will Anderson's the second coming because he ran through a running back.
But you said yourself, on first glance, live – watching it live,
yeah,
it really caught your attention.
Absolutely.
And most people don't do what we do to go back and kind of watch a game
second time
through.
You didn't watch a replay of it? You don't have to watch a game second time through. You just watch the play on the replay. That's all viral on the internet.
I still don't think most people do it.
I disagree.
Okay.
Because the people that I'm talking about are reacting to the Twitter video that's going viral.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm going to stick to the standpoint of, look, Will Anderson's an impressive football player. We've heard about the joint practice. We've heard about practice in general. I know that Andy and Kevin Kugler talk about it because they're looking for things to talk about. But he has looked every bit the part of a guy that you went and traded for. You and I are on the same page on the trade. And we'll see in a year's time or how everything plays out. But at the same time, it's happened. You can't go back and change it. And the fact is, the dude can play football. He played big time at Alabama. And every expectation is he's going to be a player for the Houston Texans. It's unfortunate that, you know, he's catching some heat in the process of all of this by him just doing his job. Whether he was blocked or not, his job is to get to the quarterback, create havoc in the backfield, get fumbles, do those kind of things.
Yeah.
But we know how fans are going to react. They're looking for it. And at this point, they're probably all throwing things at their TV. So when they see something like that, I really don't think they went back and looked at two, three, even one other time. I think that they were just ecstatic that that guy that needs to be good was good.
Fair. That's fine. I'm not ready to give him the player of the year, the rookie of the year, because he went through a running back. And I'm not ready to call him Lawrence Taylor or J.J. Watt because he ran through a running back and didn't get touched by an offensive lineman. Both of those plays, he was literally untouched by an offensive lineman. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the other rookie, C.J. Stroud. What did you think of C.J. Stroud game two after watching him in game one?
I felt a little better. I felt like I could actually breathe a little bit more about the fact that he did not impress me at all in game one. And I started, as much as I didn't want to, I started to have some voices creep into my head about questioning this guy being the guy. The fact that what I saw when he was out there, the things you were telling us about when you went to practice, came to full view and fruition for me to actually see him feather balls in there and put beautiful touch on passes, the way he completed passes, the way he escaped the pocket, the way he made throws, whether he was sitting in the pocket or he was on the run, when he was out there, The fact that he was putting footballs where they had to, even when they were dropped, the ball was where it was supposed to be placed. This was the opposite of the defense, going from really good and pulling a 180 and blowing a tire. This, on the flip side, to me, was small sample size for sure. But the fact is, he needed this, and he did this. To me, he showed me enough to where I was encouraged again about CJ.
I'm happy that everyone's taking the development process over results with Stroud. And I'm curious if this continues in the regular season and not just the preseason. Because, look, people on the Twitch, they're being honest. They're being realistic. This is practice. This stuff doesn't matter. This stuff's about training. 100%. You are all right. But you can see, like, where a player's at relative to other players. C.J. Stroud, I thought, in week one was deer in the headlights. C.J. Stroud, you could tell, was not accustomed to the speed of the NFL. He was chopping his feet. He just did not look in place. It's why when Davis Mills came into the game for C.J. Stroud, it's like, oh, this offense is looking a lot better than when C.J. Stroud was operating. Against the Dolphins, that was not the case. Against the Dolphins, C.J. Stroud looked like a pretty cool customer. Against the Dolphins, C.J. Stroud looked much better than what Davis Mills looked like when Davis Mills came into the game in the second half. So you're right. I was encouraged quite a bit with C.J. Stroud. I was impressed with the leap that he made from game one to game two. I thought was night and day. What he looked like 2 weeks ago in the opener, not good. What he looked like Saturday, there were things that were encouraging. Now, I think he does have a long way to go. You go back to that the very first series, they got the interception from Perryman. You're handing the ball off to Damian Pierce. You have a third and goal from the 1 yard line. And what does CJ Stroud do? He takes a delay of game. Lack of urgency getting up to the line. You know what was also frustrating about that? There was two things that were frustrating about that. It was a low S2 play, let's be honest. The two things that were frustrating about that, one, why are you taking a delay of game there? You're taking yourself probably out of touchdown range. Secondly, it's the first possession of the game. Why aren't you taking a timeout?
Right, you got timeouts to burn.
Huge mistake on two different fronts. Here was DeMeco Ryans on what he thought of C.J. Stroud's performance against the Dolphins.
Overall, just with the operation of the offense, I thought C.J. was more efficient. He felt more comfortable, and I think just everyone around him played better, which allowed him to play better. So I'm proud of the progression that C.J. took this week. I mean, that's what we want to see, right? You want to see improvement week to week, and that's what we saw this week, so I'm proud of what CJ did.
I agree. I agree with everything DeMeco said.
And I think the other thing, too, is, Jeremy, if we just go back to what we said when we went and analyzed game one, he was running for his life. He had zero protection. He was constantly, no matter what he was supposed to be thinking or the play he was supposed to be executing, the first thing that he was looking at was defenders all over him. The fact that at least he had some semblance of an offensive line that could give him a second or two also plays into this, to where he can relax a little bit and worry less about if he was going to have some guy breathing down his neck or in his face when he tried to do something, and just try to execute the play at hand too. So I think from the standpoint of just exactly what DeMeco said is exactly what we should expect. But to your point, regular season is going to change everything. And all the people that are just looking for progress, regardless of, you know, scoring drives and results, when it matters and they're playing for keeps, people are going to turn on him if he doesn't put up points and move this football team around. And that's just as real as I can be. As much as we all should be realistic in the fact that we're looking for results that are tangible without necessarily getting wins or doing massive things consistently.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen when the regular season
starts. That's the thing, is that the development and the process are things that, like, I was encouraged with Stroud about. Some things that he did against the Dolphins impressed me versus what he did. I thought he was awful against the Patriots. But some of the things he did yesterday, or 2 days ago, against the Dolphins were encouraging. As much as I couldn't stand that first series, like, you have it third and goal at the one with Damian Pierce. That should be an easy touchdown. And not only are you taking a delay because you're getting slow to the line, but you're also failing to call a timeout. I thought that was a huge mistake from a Stroud point of view. I thought it was a DeMeco Ryans mistake as well. Now, you can make the case that DeMeco Ryans was saying, hey, I'm trying to let a rookie quarterback learn from the situation, but the way DeMeco answered this question earlier today, I think DeMeco missed it too. Here was DeMeco on the why he didn't take a timeout on that third and one.
Yeah, there was a thought there. I could have been better just going down to save us. Thought we would be able to get lined up and we would get it off, but it seemed to me that, you know, we weren't going to get it done, so I could have sprinted down and got the timeout sooner.
Maybe he's wearing one for Stroud. Maybe he's just taking the blame for the offense, which I can understand. Look, it's preseason. I don't really care. I don't care that they didn't score a touchdown there. If that's something that happens in the regular season, I'm going to have a huge issue with DeMeco Ryans not taking the timeout. That play specifically is on Stroud not getting to the line and then failing to take the timeout before the snap. I think DeMeco was wearing one for Stroud with his
I think you're absolutely right, because I think that the one thing when you start talking about organized football teams, and you know this in covering whatever sport you cover, we know it from a basketball perspective as well as a football perspective. Part of your practice regimen every single week, two-minute drill, goal line, right? And so everything should be practiced. You should be very well-versed on it. The play clock is running down. You should be very well-versed in different situations. Coaches are supposed to put you in situational football drills in practice so that this doesn't seem like a total freak out moment where you haven't practiced it, you weren't familiar with it, and you didn't expect it. I totally believe that DeMeco is wearing one for CJ, but I also think that there is something to it that DeMeco's getting his feet wet too. And he might have just he owned it after the fact, realizing he could have, but I think he's got so much going on that he's trying to ingest right now too. I think it could have been that he missed one.
Yeah, it's preseason for him too.
Yep.
Like,
he can learn from it. Now, I think it was more Stroud than DeMeco, to be very, very clear. But that is a learn from the mistake issue. And then the fact that it was a preseason, I don't care. It is one thing that I'm going to be watching closer with DeMeco and certainly Stroud. As much as I hated that play, the second drive was great. Like, it was nice. It was smooth. You had tremendous accuracy. 11 plays, 61 yards, 5 minutes and 37 seconds off the clock. You saw some precision from Stroud. You saw the ball placement expert from Stroud. The second drive was the best drive they've had this preseason by far.
No question.
By far the best drive
they've
had.
That's also not saying a whole lot by what we saw in week one.
And this is to the greater point that I was talking about, Blankers. That this is why I'm happy that so far, and I don't think this is going to happen in the regular season when the games count and the standings start to add up. I don't think this will be the case in the regular season. But we've been telling you all along, everyone needs to take this season as development process over results with Stroud. I saw a lot of good things from C.J. Stroud against the Dolphins. There was one play where there was a free rusher and he spun away, like broke his ankles, threw a perfect ball to Noah Brown that Noah Brown couldn't make the catch. Right. Sliding catch. Would have been a good catch.
Yep.
Would have been a good catch. Probably one that he should have made, didn't make it. But Stroud, really good play on that play. I liked his poise in the pocket. Looked really good. Like, his ball placement looked really, really good.
You know how much time we busted Davis Mills for not even being able to throw an out route?
He looked bad.
Yeah, but the out routes that he was throwing and the fact that whether he was on the run on the one play to his right or the one on the left, was it to Woods, where he just put it right on the outside hand of the offensive receiver away from the defender? The placement was fantastic.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of space there.
No.
There wasn't a lot of space. That was a really good throw. Like, Stroud showed things yesterday that were really, really good. But why it's important to look at the development process over the results, we saw good things with Stroud. Stroud has had 6 possessions in his preseason NFL career. An average NFL team over a game averages somewhere between 10 to 12 possessions a game. It's closer to 10 than it is to 12, but 12 is like a round number because you can divide it by 4. So it's like 3 possessions per quarter. C.J. Stroud has had 6 preseason possessions. So that means he's had a half of football, right? He's had a half of football worth of possessions. Here's his possessions. 6 plays, 0 yards, interception. 5 plays, 28 yards, punt. 4 plays, 1 yard. That was the first series against the Dolphins that I'm counting as a field goal because they would have kicked a field goal in a real game. So I'll give them the field goal there. The next drive, 11 plays, 61 yards, field goal. That's 6 points. Next 2 plays, or possessions, 3 plays, 4 yards, 3 plays, 5 yards. So in a half of football for C.J. Stroud, 6 possessions, NFL team averages between 10 to 12 possessions a game, C.J. Stroud has led 2 field goal drives. The results there are not good. The results, if he's doing that in the regular season, people are going to be annoyed with the production of C.J. Stroud. And this is preseason. He's got a long way to go before the start of the NFL season. But right now, the results are not good with C.J. Stroud, but the process and the development has been encouraged.
But you know the black cloud is going to be the problem all year.
But I think that's why people are going to start getting annoyed. Because I think C.J. Stroud's going to do this for the first month of his NFL
career.
The loudest
voices are going to come because the sense of urgency has been ramped up by the trade itself. And the fact that if you were just sitting there and you were Bryce Young in Carolina, people are going to be judging Bryce Young solely on his development, on his week-to-week progress, on the way that he's able to grasp concepts, execute plays, make mistakes but learn from them, and do all the things that come with taking your lumps as a rookie quarterback. Because of the trade and the ramifications and how everything went down, it's not the same playing field for C.J. Stroud. It's not fair, but that's the way the fans are going to look at it. And they're going to look at it with a lot more urgency, and they're going to be a lot more critical because of it.
Let's get to Lamont on the other side. Once we get on Stroud, we'll get your thoughts, too, on what you thought of C.J. Stroud in Game 2 after what he showed you in Game 1. Six possessions for Stroud. Six possessions. It's a half of a football game. Two field goal drives for C.J. Stroud. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. Look, I'm in the process right now of remodeling a home and doing a lot of work on a home. And I'm telling you that one of the main things you need to consider when you're thinking about remodeling your home is siding, because siding is the way to go. When you're remodeling, there's no more painting, staining, and repairing your home. With Home Siding and Allstate Siding and Windows, the experts doing it and walking you through the process, they are going to make sure you are happy and satisfied, and it's going to take a whole lot of extra out of the process. Huge selection of colors and quality products. Siding of today, more durable, wind, weather, and impact-resistant materials. It is going to last. It is going to upgrade the overall appearance of your house and home, and you are going to be satisfied with that. Not only that, it's energy efficient, and you can save on your electric bills because of what it does to insulate the actual building itself. There's also senior citizen, military, and first responder discounts on top of that. But hey, the main thing, specials, 12-month interest-free. Save $2,000 off your siding job. It's family-owned and operated for over four generations. They're the only place you should go if you're considering anything with your windows or your siding. All you got to do is call them, 832-204-1936, 832-204-1936, or go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Welcome back, Houston. These guys missed you over the last break. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Keith from L.A., I thought y'all got canceled. I was ready to blame Paul. Why would we blame Paul?
Yeah, why Paul?
I'll be going to Vegas with Paul
blame
Thursday,
Joe.
Friday.
Just
a little worried about that. Mega, I'm not going to hang out with Paul. I'll be honest with
you.
Huh?
He thinks you are.
I'll hang out with him for the 3 hours we're on the air. I have zero intention to see Paul anytime before and after our show Thursday or Friday.
Well, Joe, what about me?
He has different. Well, you're going to be there too. I mean, you can pick. You're going to hang out with me, or you're going to hang out with Paul. I would suggest you hang out with Paul,
or I hang out with my old college roommate. Probably what I'll
do. Oh, you have your old college roommate in Vegas?
Yeah,
there you go.
Well, he's going to be out there too for one of the.
Paul and
Chicago
I have different
stations.
Intentions. Like, let's call it what that it is.
That I get.
Yeah, I have zero interest in hanging out with Paul.
Paulie's looking for the VIP passes to all.
And that's.
Oh, the insolence clubs.
And that's not to say, I mean, I think Paul's great. I love Paul. Paul's very, very fun. But we're different stages in life between Paul and I. Omega Man and Humble, catch me up. Just got in the car after work. Appreciate you putting in the hours, punching the clock there. Mm-hmm. Is this the Killer Bees new slot on the radio? It is. If you are a new listener that has not been able to tune in since 3, this slot is now ours. We are now the captain of this ship. We will be here from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, except for Thursday, Friday, when Paul and I will be doing 3 to 6 because the Blankers isn't allowed in the county line in Nevada.
Joe told me, no matter what I tried to do to be a team player, that I was sitting this one out. So yeah,
he's not allowed
there you
in
go.
Vegas. 2284, I'm in Vegas Wednesday through Saturday. Let me get you a beer, Branham. I'll take you up on that. I've never passed up a cold beer. Long neck cold beer ain't ever broke my heart.
Can Paul come?
He didn't mention a Paul.
Oh,
I don't want to invite Paul
because
this is somebody else's invitation. I can't do that. That'd be weird.
The listener doesn't have to get Paul a beer, but the listener might be open to Paul joining you guys too.
That's up to the listener.
Could hang out.
You'd have to ask the listener that. I'm not going to invite somebody to an invitation that was not mine. That's Bush League. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Lamont, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's going on, Lamont?
Hey, what's the deal with you fellas in your new time slot?
Same old stuff.
Same stuff, just a different time
man,
slot, buddy.
I'm out here kind of cold, man. It's 98 degrees, man. Boy, I got my coat on. I'm feeling kind of. I'm feeling kind of cold.
It's
right
kind of cloudy where we're at, too. Like, the clouds are out. I think there's a chance that it might drop a speck of rain.
I can tell you, if you walked out in the hallways of this building right now, you wouldn't be cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, 98 degrees is welcome right now, man. But
Lamont, you a 98 degrees fan? Did you listen to their music?
Lamont's favorite boy band.
Were you a Nick Lachey guy?
Wait, say that again?
Were you a 98 degrees fan? Were you a fan of that boy band, 98 degrees, lead singer Nick Lachey?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Did not expect that.
I swear.
Yeah.
Or no,
I love music, man. I love music.
There you go.
I love all music.
All right. I'm surprised.
But here's my point, man. It's kind of funny that I've been messing with Jeremy. And Jeremy, though, I messed with him.
Oh, for sure.
But here's where I met. Here's where I met with the CJ Stroud, man. And I want the young man to do well in the NFL. But we're talking about 25%. He had four drives. He did good with one drive, and we going all crazy. And what I want to know from a lot of Houston fans and a lot of the media and a lot of the national media, are we comparing CJ Stroud to last week and what he did in practice, or are we comparing him to other rookies, or are we comparing him to quarterbacks in the NFL? Because he had one freaking drive that looked like a normal quarterback. You know how I've seen done that before? T.J. Yates in a freaking playoff game, man. Say, man, don't give me all of that, man. If you can't give me at least two drives where he look real good, we just all happy because he don't look like a flop. He don't look like flop on one drive. And we talking about consistency. One drive out of four drives. That's 25%, fellas. Like I said, I'm not going to clown this young man, because I was all happy to see that one drive too, but then I had to dial it back, and I was like, wow, man, is this what we had in the quarterback position right now in Houston?
Yeah. They'll
be going on crazy because of one drive with 56 yards. I'm out.
It's what you got invested in him. It's different if it's a third round pick like Davis Mills, and you're hoping, like,
you buying Lamont likes this?
Lamont likes a lot of different music.
He said he's a lover of music.
This is my
Does Lamont love this? 713-780-37. Lamont, you like this?
Then they also
713-780-37.
What was their I Do?
I couldn't
this
tell
song
you
or that
one.
I Do was like the wedding proposal song.
I couldn't tell you one song.
I mistakenly used it once in my life.
I couldn't tell you one song.
Oh, see, I was Team 98 Degrees over Backstreet Boys.
There's no way.
Yeah.
No way.
This is like my era.
Were you
of music.
A Backstreet Boys?
Why
or
would
NSYNC
you do that?
Kind of
Backstreet Boys.
Over NSYNC?
Yeah.
I'm probably right there with you.
Because, like, I don't know. I was like,
there's no way Lamont likes this.
I was like six when this song came out.
I'm calling BS.
I think he did.
You think Lamont liked this?
He likes all kinds of music.
It's
Lamont. Lamont. Lamont.
He can text her. He can.
Lamont
tweet us.
Will definitely. Yeah. He'll do both. There's no way Lamont likes
See, this. I think, though, to Lamont's point about all of this, the biggest problem that we have is it's not Davis Mills, it's not a third round pick. Where your expectations, let's face it, you were hopeful. Like, I mean, as much as Dick Willie was all over on Twitch all season long about how just wait and see, he's going to turn out, and we went back and forth about where the ceiling was. The fact is, in your heart of hearts, if you had to put your life on the line or bet on it, you weren't betting that this guy was going to be a long-time starter for the Texans or any NFL team. But when you take the draft capital that you had and you turn it into a guy that you're expecting to be your franchise quarterback, now everything changes. Now the highest of highs for everything that's positive, and the tempered expectations when things are low, because you don't want to fathom the thought of if he absolutely craps the bed.
Yeah. Lamont asked, are we comparing him more to rookie quarterbacks or relative to the NFL starter in the NFL? I would say we're actually comparing him to C.J. Stroud against the Patriots, because C.J. Stroud against the Dolphins was better than C.J. Stroud against the Patriots. C.J. Stroud, rookie quarterback versus other rookie quarterbacks, I didn't really see much of the rookie quarterbacks this week. I would say he's been below average, quite honestly. C.J. Stroud, relative to the rest of the NFL, starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, quite frankly, has been poor.
Yeah.
If we're looking at the results of C.J. Stroud, and again, this is way too early to close the book on C.J. Stroud, but if we're calling C.J. Stroud to this point through six preseason possessions, it has not been good, to Lamont's point. We mentioned it earlier. Six drives, six plays, 0 yards pick. Five plays, 28 yards punt. Four plays, 1 yard, what would have been a field goal. 11 plays, 61 yards, field goal. Three plays, 4 yards punt. Three plays, 5 yards punt. For an NFL starting quarterback caliber in the NFL, if we're comparing that to the starting quarterback caliber in the NFL, that's poor. That's not good.
But here's the thing. Right now, to your point, it's unfair to compare him to any other quarterback other than himself from a day-to-day basis.
Can you say that same thing in the regular season, though?
I think
when you're trying to win games? When you have to win
games? That's the thing. Again, the black cloud is going to be that in any normal situation, you wouldn't be comparing him to anything other than the progress he made from day to day, week to week, game to game. Yeah. But because of the fact that that trade is going to weigh so heavy and loom so large in the history of this franchise, you can't do what other teams are able to do, even though you're supposed to just be grading him on his progress. The fact is, it's unfair to compare him to other rookie quarterbacks because other quarterbacks might have a better receiving room. Whether it's the guys that they have in Carolina and whether Adam Thielen has anything left or not,
yeah.
They had put some guys around him. And we already talked about the fact that Richardson is dealing with an all-everything running back behind him as long as he works his contract out. But on paper, he's got skill position players that have a ton of ability around him. So you can't say that just because Bryce Young has a better week to week than C.J. Stroud 1 week when they're both on the field, all you can worry about is the progress C.J. Stroud makes in a Texans uniform from play to play, game to game, and that's it.
You're right. This in the preseason you can live with, and then you see the arrow pointing up. Week two was way better than week one. You hope that week – I don't think he's going to play a lot against the Saints, but you want to start seeing this in the regular season where he starts to build brick by brick, improvement, development, process, which is how you should be viewing the 2023 Houston Texans season. But you also have the fear that you have to win games because you no longer have your first round draft pick that you traded away for Will Anderson. And if CJ Stroud has a six possession stretch where he put up in the preseason, that's not good. And it's not that good compared to other quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just not.
It's just weighing talent too, right? You might have gotten two talented players or two guys you think are talented in this draft. But if it turns out that he doesn't have the talent you thought he had, and there's one, two, or God forbid, two or three quarterbacks next year in the draft that fall to where you would have drafted if you had your own pick, there are going to be people coming out of the woodwork after you, Nick Caserio, and anybody that'll listen.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. If you're new to the Bees, we have a segment where you can ask us anything. It's simple. Ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. Sports, non-sports, what pizza Joe was eating in Chicago, whatever you want. 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're going to be out in Vegas Thursday, Friday. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Circa. And the Circa has two amazing contests going on right now. The Circa Million and Circa Survivor. $14 million in guaranteed prizes between the two. And the best part, there's no rake in either contest. Biggest football contest in Vegas, back for their fifth year. Head to Circa, enter in Vegas. We'll be there Thursday, Friday. And the beauty of it, you can play from anywhere. Your couch, work, wherever, because you can play anywhere once you enter in Vegas. The two contests. First one I'll tell you about. The Circa Million Football Contest, $6 million in total prizes. Quarterly payouts, you have a hot first quarter, third quarter, you're getting some money. 100% payback, no rake. You can't get that anywhere else than Circa. Top prize, $1 million. You'll pick five teams against the spread weekly, and the winner takes home $1 million. The other contest, the Circa Survivor. We've all played in Survivor pools. You probably won Survivor pools. You win this one, you're going home rich. Their biggest prize pool yet, $8 million. It's simple. Pick a winner straight up, no spread, and win big. If you're the lone survivor, a guaranteed $8 million is headed your way. Bigger money than ever before. Play today for your share of $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Contest open now. You don't want to miss out. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Head over to circussports.com for more details.
You've got mail.
It's Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
Something's in the bag.
Mommy?
What's in the bag?
What's in the box?
It is our Mailbag Monday. If you're new to the Killer Bees, because we're now 3-6, we're the captain now. We do a segment each Monday where you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Justin, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's your question for us?
What's going on, guys? I got a little bit of a loaded question, so... Do you think that Aiden O'Connell and DTR, the quarterback for the Browns, are real based off this preseason performance? If yes, then I see why you can judge how C.J. Stroud's done. But if no, how can we really put much relevance on Stroud being, I would say, lackluster, realistically, when it's a bunch of vanilla playbooks and nobody's really playing their full game yet?
Appreciate it, Justin. You're right. That was a loaded question. I think O'Connell and DTR have a chance.
I think DTR. Look, again, you have to temper your highs and your lows.
Absolutely.
But I think that DTR's game translates more for the NFL game now than it did than previous previously when a guy was drafted that low, but also at UCLA, he did a lot of things. I mean, he moved the football, but I thought a lot of it was with his legs. The fact that at least we're talking about when Stroud's feathering a ball in there with some touch. I saw him make some throws that were impressive to me, to where I'm not going to get too excited and say he's a starter in the NFL, but I think a lot of teams are watching what happens with Cleveland to say, hey, there's a guy that we think we can develop that has some talent,
yeah, I don't
and
think
he can run.
He's not leaving Cleveland. I don't think he's leaving Cleveland. Who they gonna keep? They're going to keep Kellen Mond over him? No chance.
They don't have a veteran at all behind them. It's just those two guys?
They might have a veteran, but you're going to keep three quarterbacks now. You have the three-quarterback rule.
And just not – right. But I think – because Mariota's in Philly, but yeah, Mariota was getting
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he was getting third
Browns
team reps.
Backups Joshua Dobbs. Their third string battle is DTR Kellen Mond. DTR is going to win that battle, and DTR might beat out Joshua Dobbs.
I was
now they're going to keep all three on the roster though. Dobbs, DTR, and Deshaun.
That's the veteran though. That Dobbs is the veteran, but I think DTR is a guy that caught a lot of general managers' eye with what he was doing in the preseason, regardless of what you think about evaluating a guy on preseason.
Yeah, I that's why I think he's guaranteed himself that third spot. Now, O'Connell will be on the – I could see O'Connell starting a game late this year, to be completely honest, because I don't think much of Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think much of Josh McDaniels, and I think they might be in a spot where they're a losing team and want to get a look at Aiden O'Connell to take a look at a young quarterback. Now, that said, what you said, you have to temper expectations, good or bad, in the preseason no matter what.
Right.
I've been encouraged, and you're right, you can't, Justin's right, you can't put too much stock in anything you've seen from C.J. Stroud, but you can kind of, you can see throws, you can see decisions, you can see how they're responding with, you know, rushers in their face. In the first game for Stroud, he looked awful, he looked deer in the headlights, he looked bad. Saturday, he looked fine. He looked okay. He looked like he has a chance to be pretty good. Now, the results haven't been what you want in the regular season.
But to Justin's point, here's the thing, how you can at least tell whether it's preseason or not, just like it's at practice. We can go back and look at the Davis Mills era and watch whether it was preseason or regular season. His out routes were hitting the popcorn vendor in the third row. He couldn't put a ball where it needs to be placed. When you see a quarterback at least be able to put the football on the right side of the defender or the left side of the defender, away from the defender, where only the receiver can catch it, and he can make some plays both on the run and in the pocket where he's putting the ball in the right place and shows he's got some touch, that already shows you something in the preseason that you need to see, regardless of the level of competition, whether the game counts or not.
713-780-3776 is your question for the Killer Bees. 0441. Would you rather fight one giant Yordan Alvarez or 100 mini baby-sized Yordans?
This was a question that the guys that used to have this slot had a week or so ago, but they did it with ducks and horses and things like that. But I think BK actually brought this up.
Beaky, you mean?
Beaky, yeah. Would I rather fight one Yordan Alvarez or an army of
100 mini baby-sized Yordans?
I think I can take down the mini baby-sized Yordans more than trying to take on anything with a man as large as Yordan Alvarez.
I really don't like your chances either way.
I got a question.
This is an easy answer for me. You're taking on one giant Yordan Alvarez. Why do you have one giant Yordan Alvarez? Because there's a decent chance that one giant Yordan Alvarez is going to get hurt.
I was thinking,
he's going to get hurt.
There's
a good chance he's going to get hurt.
That was my question here.
Is
this the Yordan Alvarez that actually plays for the Astros?
Yeah, I'm gonna take a sucker punch to his hand.
I'm going just right for the kneecaps.
It's a double kneecap surgery.
Unfortunately, if he hurts his hand on your dome piece, you're done.
Well, yeah, but you have one shot.
But here's the thing. If he doesn't knock you out, he might break his hand on the punch, and you might win by default.
Exactly.
But a lot of the mini ones might try and run and get you, and they might all fall before they even get to you, too.
But that's not all of them are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like your chance against one mini-size Yordan.
Like, if there's 100
Yordans.
One mini-size?
No, I don't like your chances.
Okay, well, I don't like your chances either, so that's fine.
If there's 100 Yordans, how many of them get hurt before they even get to you?
20%? That's what I'm saying. I would say half.
Like 50%?
I would say half.
So it's really 50 Yordans.
50 mini-sized Yordans or a 50-50 shot that one giant Yordan gets hurt should have been the question.
I'll take the mini ones.
UFC kicking, you can knock a domino effect. Get one to run into a couple others. They all get hurt.
When was the last time you kicked something?
My coffee table about 2 weeks ago. And my toe's still sore.
What happened? Somebody dropped the ball in the Backers game or whatever?
No.
You watched Hard Knocks and Aaron Rodgers?
Actually, one of the dogs was starting to look like he was going to throw up, and I needed him to get outside and not throw up in the living room. And when I sprinted across the living room to get his butt towards the back door, My big toe caught the coffee table. It was not an enjoyable experience.
I thought you got mad. No. Here's a good one. If Mr. Gal rehired Barry and Nick, would Blankers go back to the midday slot with the usual suspects or stay loyal to Branham with the driving bees?
Mm.
I know my answer.
I know. We're getting dumped.
Which...
I mean,
it's good knowing you.
Yeah, I mean, I love Barry and Nick. So
you don't love us.
I love you guys sometimes too.
I don't. I mean, I know the heck out of you, so I don't mind. 9411 crankshaft and Hitchcock. You didn't answer, by the way. You didn't answer. Did he answer?
Yeah, I think he answered.
I think
I'm
he
a man
answered,
of the people.
He
I love
answered
everybody.
In a roundabout way. Off.
And then
Joel's going to work for 6 hours if that happened. Six straight hours.
It's a good idea.
I don't want to get Blankers on the back end of those 6 hours.
Yeah, I'd rather the first three.
Yeah. Crankshaft and Hitchcock, it's good to hear you guys in the drive time slot. How are you liking the change?
I love the slot. I felt like all along this is where we belong. The time adjustment on a schedule perspective is going to take a little time.
It's going to take an adjustment. Now, I'm happy about it because I'm going to say that I'm going to work out and never will. I'm going to say that I'm going to hit golf balls and I never will.
Yep.
But I do like that the added time ahead of the show. It was. I'll tell you this. I hadn't really put much thought into the change in terms of like, I mean, I did kind of like, what am I eating? Blah, blah, blah. When am I leaving? But like the welcome to the 3-6 moment was whenever I saw the Astros put their lineup out before
That's
we were
right.
ever on the air. That was weird because usually it comes in our final segment and it was out before we were ever on the air. I was like, well,
I was
this
worried
is
about
weird.
Your eating habits. Like normally you lunch during the show and now are you going to need a snack? Is
had,
that dinner? Or is that going to ruin your dinner?
I don't know. It's a work in progress.
For me, it's all about traffic. I am deeply concerned about my drive home.
Yeah, because, I'm curious what that's going to look like.
Yeah, because normally when if we got out of
fun.
Here. Between 3 and 3:15.
Going to be rough.
I can get home pretty quickly. Now I'm worried about it taking a long
3
time.
3 was pretty rough too, though.
It depends. You guys going north side it was.
Yeah, it was pretty rough 3.
I knew if I didn't get out of the studio by like 3:15, that it was going to start packing up on 59.
I mean, usually you're usually mailing it in around 2:45.
Well, I mean, that's still a good 45 minutes ahead of you. So.
Key from L.A., if you had a time machine, what big moment in sports history would you travel back to? That's a loaded question. There's so many.
Yeah, there are.
I would love to have seen a Muhammad Ali big-time heavyweight title fight.
Real in Manila
maybe,
or Joe
maybe,
Frazier.
Maybe the Sonny Liston where he's standing over him in the iconic
the
picture. That would be awesome. That would be really cool. But it would also be cool to see like Babe Ruth hit a home run. It'd be
sure.
cool to see like the you know the Willie Mays catch. Like there's so many.
Vic Wertz. Yeah.
That's who hit it?
Yeah, I did a book report.
Well, you went to school with him? Or?
No, Charlie actually was there. I actually did a book report on it when I was a kid.
I think I want to see... Babe Ruth call a shot since it's
and then see if it's real.
It's debunked. Like some people don't think it was real.
Mm.
Like that's not what he's really doing.
That's pretty good.
Like I want to know the truth.
Yeah, I do too. That's a good call.
I mean, there's some that you don't have to go that far back though. Like I would have liked to have been at Pebble when Tiger just dominated
That'd
the
be
world.
Fun
to see that this kid, that this phenom, living up to every bit of the hype and just drilling the entire field. On a course like Pebble, that would have been pretty amazing.
I think maybe seeing just like that last Masters he won out of nowhere.
That happened the week I got married.
You guys have talked about that.
I will never forget Tiger Woods winning his final major. Cash it or trash it.
Cash.
Seems like a pretty safe cash,
doesn't
it?
Better cash that one.
He's never going to win another one, so.
8029, should the Texans just start Case Keenum?
Nice hot take, Joe.
Should the Texans start Case Keenum? Go Cougs.
He's
over CJ Stroud. He's hurt. I'm a little concerned about Case.
Who, Tiger or Case? Joe, when you said he's never healthy after you made that outlandish statement that was so tough to get behind. He can't even walk anymore. He's not going to win another major.
Yeah, it wasn't really a hot take.
No. And Case Keenum
you know
wasn't
what else?
Supposed to be a hot take.
I thought he was going to be the backup
cash
at the start of the year.
It.
And you guys said no.
The sun will rise tomorrow.
Cash.
These are takes from Joe George. We will all die someday.
Cash
or trash.
Taxes are
have to be paid every
year.
Yeah, cash or trash. Yeah.
Which one?
Hot
the taxes?
Takes from Joe George. Some people evade
them. Joe
right?
eludes them. That's right.
Some people elude the taxes. All right, that does it for our Mailbag Monday. You have any other questions, just tweet them at Pac-Man Joel. He'd be happy to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Coming up next, will Jose Altuve, will he get to 3,000 hits? And who will be the next Astro, if there is one, to get to 2,000 hits? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, I've been telling you about it for a while. It's here. It's football season. You know it's football season. We're talking about the Texans. We're talking about training camp. We're talking about week 0 in college football. That means the happiest time for a sports fan for the next 8 months is here. And there's no better way to make all the games more entertaining, whether it be your favorite teams or you see a game on TV that normally just isn't of interest to you. You can make it the most interesting game in the next 3 hours because you can put money down on it. And when you do, you should do it at mybookie.ag. I tell you all the time, there's only one place to go. It's mybookie.ag, and it's simply because of the fact they take care of their customers better than anybody else. Whether you're betting on football or you want to talk about the point spread, you want to talk about all the different prop bets that are available, you want to talk all the different ways you can put money down on a game, there's only one reason to go to mybookie.ag. It's because they take care of the sure, there's other reasons, but they take care of their customers. If you've never been on mybookie.ag before, there's a first-timer sign-up bonus. If you've been on and have an existing account, there's a bonus for you when you come back. There's all different ways you can reap the bonus structure and get more money in your account on a regular basis. That means you can cash in, put a certain amount in, but get more than that in your account. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. And it's not just football, college, and pro. I mean, there's so much more that you can do with mybookie.ag. You can bet on golf. As we know, it's the final week of the FedEx Cup, and you can bet on it and make it more interesting. Baseball, with the playoffs coming around, bet on baseball every night, bet on baseball during the playoffs. Soccer, you name it, they've got it, and they've also got live dealers and casino betting right there online. Check it out right now. Go to mybookie.ag and find out what everybody has been talking about for the longest of times. All the different ways you can get the deposit bonuses, but more so than that, all the different ways that sports become more fun when you can put a little money on it. Check them out today. As I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere from the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy Branham guy. Not BK says he's changed his name from Not BK to Honey Glazed Branham since you're now in the primetime slot. You got to give Blankers a nickname, too. Does Jose?
Got to be better than Branham.
What's wrong with that?
You like it?
Honey glaze. I mean, it's a play on the honey glazed ham.
I know, but
it's not. I mean, it's not great.
I get drilled for dad jokes.
Not bad. It was the texture. If you want to drill the texture, go for it.
They can upgrade their game.
I mean, his previous name was Not BK. I don't think creativity is really that texture's calling card.
Well taken.
Jose Altuve, can he get to 3,000 hits?
You and I were talking about it a little in the break. I thought about it this weekend when he got to 2,000. You know, all these, even 300 wins, all these things that were, you know, legitimately in conversations with baseball players, it's just a different day and age where it's going to be really tough. He's got to put together healthy seasons for the next 7 seasons and be pretty consistent with his offensive approach. Those are big ifs that I don't think that we thought we'd be talking about with Altuve. A couple years ago, I thought, yeah, I think there's a really good chance he can get to 3,000. But now when you think about the health factor, as well as you get older, you know, at a certain point, you're going to diminish your skills a little bit. He's got more pop. He's not quite as much average. But the health thing to me is what is the reason why I think he's not going to get it.
And he also doesn't get as many hits as he did, like, in his mid-20s, right? Because he was, like, batting champion, hitting 340. He's kind of reinvented who he is.
200 hits every year and just rattling them off.
He was more of a free swinger then, too. Yep. Like, he would rarely walk. Like, he would have half the walk totals those years that he gets now. So he walks more, which means that you don't get as many hits. He's kind of reinvented who he is offensively. Hits for way more power than he does, like, average. Like, back then, he did hit for tons of power, like 7, 15, 20 home runs, things like that. Here's a little bit of the math on this. Jose Altuve, this is his 13th year in baseball. In his 13 years, he's averaged 154 hits a season. Now, his first year, he only played in 57 games. He had the COVID year where he played 48 games. And so far this year, he's played 54 games. So I think that kind of, like, averages into the attrition of being, like, an older player. So if we assume Jose Altuve gets 154 hits a season for the remainder of his career, which is pretty high. I mean, that's a high number. That's probably too high. He would need 6.5 more years to do that. So that puts him at playing all the way through his 30s and then another year into his 40s. He'd be 40 years old. So I think it's going to be, like, health obviously matters here, but also the desire for Jose Altuve to get to 3,000 hits. I think if Jose Altuve, that's something that he feels that he needs to get to, you know, put another feather in his cap, to add to a milestone of what should be a Hall of Fame career. If Altuve wants to chase it, I think somebody, and it might be the Astros, will allow him to chase it, much like Craig Biggio chased it whenever his, you know, best days were behind him. So I think Altuve's going to do it because I think it matters to him. Like, if you saw his reaction for 2000, that mattered to him. Popping champagne in the clubhouse after you lost the game, it mattered to him. I think 3,000 hits matters to Jose Altuve, and I think he's going to stick around enough to get to 3,000 hits.
I was going to say, if you've got the Verlander approach to statistics meaning something in the history and the legacy of your career, the way Verlander's chasing strikeouts and he's chasing wins because he wants to get to 300, I saw the appreciation in Altuve as well. I saw the champagne after the game. It was a loss. And so I do know that it means something to him. But at the same time, I don't see a pathway from a health perspective where even if he wants it and they do the Miguel Cabrera, hang on, hang on, hang on as long as you can, I just don't see the path where he's going to get there, because I think that the injuries are going to happen more often now. And some of them were fluky this year, and of course he got hit on the thumb. But overall, I think there's a guy that's given so much play, so hard-nosed, it's going to be tough to keep him healthy enough to where it's, in my way of looking at this, there's at least another season or two where he might have, you know, less than 120 some games.
For sure. Miguel Cabrera, he got his 2000th in 2014, and then he went 145, 188 the next year, and then 117 hits. But he still didn't get his 3,000 hits until 2022. Took him seven more seasons or eight more seasons.
See, I think it's going to be a Biggio path. Like, Biggio played till 41, and Biggio would hit the occasional home run. Like, I could see Jose Altuve in his late 30s being who Biggio was, where he's going to hit 260, 270. He's going to pull 20, 25 homers into the Crawford boxes. He's going to get the hits that eventually get him to 3,000. Now, if he has a season where he loses the season because of an injury, you can probably kiss this goodbye.
Right.
I think it's going to be tight. But because it means a lot to Altuve, if he stays healthy, I think he's going to chase the 3,000.
So factor that out. So if you're talking about, what, 8 years?
Yeah, I have it. Well, I mean, if you factor out 150 hits, he probably
if he Biggio's it.
If he Biggio'd it and did what? Oh, 41?
Extended it and got to 41.
That puts him, I think, at 7.5 years because he's 33 right now. Yeah, 33, so he'll be 34 next year.
It's like 140 hits a year.
Yeah, so then it's still, a hundo is
he's,
one thing.
In a full season, though, he's never had under 140 hits. Like the year that he played in 2019, he played in 124 games. He still had 149 hits. Last year, he had 158. The year before that, he had 167. The only years that he failed to get to 140 was his rookie year COVID. When he played in 57 games, the COVID year when he played in 54, and he's probably not going to get there this year.
That's why you're right. One more injury derails the whole process.
Yeah, like it, a significant injury.
If he has a season like he had this year, or maybe even one less injury, it derails the whole thing.
Yeah, probably. Now, but I could see him playing till 43 just to chase it. I could.
Because if you look at Miguel Cabrera's,
I don't think he'll be any good.
And you got to get at bats consistently.
Yep. It might be the Astros.
Like, it might be, but it depends on where the Astros are. Look,
Biggio, it depends where
the Astros
are. If
they're selling tickets instead of winning baseball games.
If it's Biggio whenever they weren't winning games, they're going to be happy to do it.
Right.
It's going to sell tickets. You're right. It depends on where the Astros are. Yep. If the Astros are still, like right now, like a championship contender, you're probably not giving 500 plate appearances to an over-the-hill Jose Altuve at 42 years old. If you're a mediocre team that's going 81-81 and you're going through a little bit of a rebuild, you're going to have a cash cow, get people through the gates to come watch you play. So it does depend on where the Astros are. You're absolutely right.
Because what's interesting about Miguel Cabrera is, like, he had 2018, he had 40 hits because he only played in 38 games. Besides that, in the pandemic year, he was over 100 hits in every single season. Like, he still was, like, on pace for, like, a very good way to get to 3,000. But that 2018 when he got hurt, and then 2020, like, really screwed him to make it have to go 8 years.
Yeah, the bubble year didn't do him any favors.
No, that
and it might stop Altuve.
But it's just one injury.
He might fall short because of the COVID year. Like, it's very much in play.
He doesn't get that extra injury year. Like, he should still get 100 this year.
Yeah,
but like he's not gonna get max out like 120 this year.
It is important,
probably.
Yeah, max. I mean, there's only 37 games. I mean, how many?
Oh, I guess 120 is way too high.
Altuve has
68
for 54. Let's say he gets one hit a game the rest of the year on average. That puts him at 37 more hits. So that gets him like 110-ish, 115-ish this year.
Yeah, I just think that's why the injury is so prevalent. It'd be because there were so many other outside factors like COVID and things that he has to deal with now going forward. he's won, not even like major injury,
like a 3 month injury,
yeah,
a
but like thumb. But a substantial injury, or if you know, if he's dealing with another oblique or something like that, that's one thing. But if he's dealing with, you know, a sprained knee or something that goes just a little bit more, you know, on the urgency scale, that derails everything.
And he could get that back depending on how long he plays. Mm-hmm. Like if he plays till he's 42, 43, he can probably survive
just don't
one
the Brady,
more injury.
Rodgers, the older guys, you know, that we've seen in football, it's one thing. And I know football is actually a more physical sport. That's why it's so rare to see a couple guys that do it.
Uh-huh.
I just think that it has to be on a bad team.
I think
if he's going to play that long.
No, I don't disagree with that at all.
And I think there's one other big difference between like him and Miguel Cabrera, that Yordan Alvarez causes a problem for this team. Miguel Cabrera, at some point, you couldn't play him in the field.
Yeah, Biggio played in the field until he was in his 40s.
I don't
think
Altuve will have that issue at second base as much as Cabrera, but like you don't really also have of if he can't play in the field, he could probably be the primary DH for the Astros, because that's still always going to be Yordan Alvarez.
Well, if you're talking about that length, though, I mean, Yordan Alvarez's deal is 6 years. Like, yeah, if you're talking about Altuve playing for 7-8 years, Yordan might not be on the team at that point.
Don't say those.
Don't say that.
Don't say those words. I know, but just don't say those words.
Realistic is the fact that we've talked about injuries and breakdowns, but Joe, to your point, defensively, he's already broken down with his arm completely.
Well, his range isn't there either.
Well, not only the range, but the fact that his arm used to be decent, pretty good, and now he's just doing nothing but soft tosses unless he absolutely has to.
Can you have a 5'5" first baseman?
No. Unless you're Bill Veeck back in the day. No.
Somebody texted in, not just somebody, Eric the Driver. Altuve will be a 300 homer, 300 stolen base guy with around 2,500 hits at the end of his career. I think he'll get more hits than that. He says still Hall of Fame numbers. Let's be very clear. I don't think Jose Altuve needs 3,000 hits to be
completely
a Hall of Famer.
I agree with that.
So I want to be clear on that. 3,000 hits is not a milestone that Altuve has to hit to be a qualified Hall of Famer. Now, what do voters do with Jose Altuve, I think, is a fair question. But Jose Altuve, by the time he's done counting his stats, should be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Is he the only position player on the current roster of the Houston Astros that has a shot at the Hall of Fame?
I think Tucker might have a shot, but he's going to have to start having this type of year for like the next seven years. Yordan, maybe, if he stays healthy. You're talking position players?
Yeah. I mean, we know Verlander's going in.
Bregman, no. Pena, no, he doesn't hit enough. The only other one that you could have any claim for is if Yiner Diaz is the best offensive catcher.
Are you going Yiner on me already?
He's the only other one that would have a chance.
Yeah.
He's the only other one that would have Tucker. Yeah. If Yiner Diaz is the best offensive catcher for the next decade, he has a shot. Yeah. He has a shot. 7-1-3.
I just think for all those people that were grandiose about Bregman after he had his one big year and other, where they were like, he could make the Hall of Fame someday, and this could really hurt his Hall of Fame status when the cheating scandal came up. Nah, there was only one guy that it was going to affect.
Real quick, is there a player on this roster that could get to 2,000 hits?
Tucker.
I think it's Tucker with an extension, and Tucker. I think that's about it. Now, Yiner could, because Yiner swings at everything, and he doesn't walk, which means you have a chance to get more hits.
And there's a chance for him to get better at that. And Yordan is just out of the question because he just you can't believe he's going to stay healthy.
And he walks a ton. 713-780-3776. The Astros had a players-only meeting yesterday. That's an airing of grievances that they had in the clubhouse. It's time for our airing of grievances. 713-780-3776. Now is your chance. Air your grievances with the Houston Astros following this three-game sweep of Seattle. 713-780-3776. Your airing of grievances with the Stros. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know, football season is here. We're living it. We're talking football every single day. And the University of Houston home opener is right around the corner as the Cougs are kicking off their first season in the Big 12. A great matchup over at TDECU Stadium 2 weeks from Saturday as the Cougars host the Roadrunners from UTSA. And the theme for Game 1, we're going to be celebrating Houston. Family four packs are available now. Get those right this second. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, four sodas, all for just $60. $60 for a family of four, outstanding value. 713-GO-COUGS or uhcougars.com/tickets. Individual tickets are available now as well. If you don't have a family for four, well, you can get tickets for just $20. Come early, enjoy all the new activities in Cougar Alley in front of TDECU Stadium, including the huge LED TV screen. The Bud Light Backyard, Yard, food trucks, and more. Spirit of Houston performing at halftime. Entertainment by the cheerleaders, Cougar Doll, Shasta, and Sasha, and DJ Yobi Yobes mixing it up in the student section. Houston, UTSA. UTSA receiving votes in the AP poll, by the way, too. Good football team coming into town. Get your tickets now. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear red.